Okay, can you make sure also, before we get into more sauce, can you make sure that the clicking noise and like your scroll wheel doesn't show up that much on your
I'm gonna use my pad. Thing. I'm gonna use my pad.
Yeah, because it's getting increasingly, because you mumble at the exact decibel level that scroll wheel like moves. So I can't mute it.
Okay. I mumble. That's lovely. At least I'm not as...
When you mumble.
At least I'm not as bad as Kashi69.
Okay, still need to check that, because that's his real name.
I swear to... Well, no, I don't know if that's his real... That's his rapper name.
No, but like, to me, his name is 6ix9ine. It's just 6ix9ine.
No, it's Takashi69.
Okay.
Like, legit.
In the article, it says his name is... Some articles call him... He has different
names. No, I guess he has a couple different. It looks like 6ix9ine, Takashi69, or Takashi. Like, there's a couple. So, yeah.
I'm going by 6ix9ine, most of the...
I mean, he has that tattooed everywhere, and he needs to die.
Hello, humans. Hey. Welcome to Audio Face. This is a podcast about music news and music culture, and I'm hosting it with my friend Sean.
Okay. That would make sense. I was going to say I'm Sean, but apparently he's changing it up. This is episode 47, just in case you didn't know, because we've been doing this for a long time.
Episode 47.
It's Agent 47. We are approaching the year mark, and we'll have some things for you guys for that young year mark.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Our almost year episode is going to coincide with episode 50, because we're kind of planning it that way, and like I said, some really big thing is going to be happening. It's going to be great. There's a web domain involved. It's funny. But we have some new singles this week, as we always do, but we also have some releases. There was one really, really big release, and so Sean wouldn't blow his brains out, I threw in a little wild card in there, because they haven't done that for a while. We're also going to do a discussion topic. Can you be a musician? I'm going to ask Sean some questions.
Can you
about
be
that
a musician? Okay. That's not exactly how I well, worded it, but yeah.
That's not how you worded it, but like, no, not you, per se. But it's like, what are the barriers to entry for being a musician, basically?
Okay, there you go. That's better.
But I have a way of pitching it to you that's going to make it more... I'm being a copy editor right now. I'm sorry. Yeah, Ray Schremer, Johns Hopkins Singularity, and then there's going to be a bonus episode this week that's going to drop in the middle of the week because Arctic Monkeys is releasing an album that's going to be very different from what they've done, and they deserve a little bit of a retrospective, so we're going to be doing that for you. So let's get started. No Shame by Future was a single that came out this week, and pretty much the reason I am talking about this is because, Kendrick Lamar had that big Top Dog Entertainment release with Black Panther, and so Future is doing the same thing where he's producing a soundtrack for Superfly, which is going to be a remake of a blaxploitation film that's pretty popular, like decently known as a cult classic thing. And I heard the song and I really hated it.
Damn,
I really hated it.
Yeah, I did too. Also, granted, now since I had to try to listen to Race Remembered 8 hours of trap, I just my brain was so mushy from trap that I listened to this yesterday and I go, I can't. My brain, I'm done. My brain doesn't work anymore. It's too much.
Yeah.
Can we just kill the genre already? That'd be nice.
So there's a lot of trap. There's definitely a lot of trap this week. But here's was something different. This is something we added right in the morning, which I'm kind of glad we recorded.
Make sure to mute your laptop.
My laptop is muted. Oh. No sounds happen.
Good job. Making sure.
Hold your fire. Hold your fire, sir. But I'm glad we record this podcast on Sunday mornings because Childish Gambino, Donald Glover did Saturday Night Live last night and he released two songs. And in addition to that was a music video for This Is America, which has the internet like kind of on fire right now because it's
edgy.
Really, really pointed.
It's edgy.
Super edgy. Like I'm too cool to say that celebrities or artists, especially ones with NBC shows, are doing things right. But Donald Glover is one of the best artists of all time. Like multimedia, period. not after seeing that video, but that video and the culmination of things, it's, I hate to be that hype guy, but it's really, that's how you do music and politics in a way that's funny and edgy and sharp and intense. Like, I'd say I haven't seen a video that's been this visceral and like how well it's shot and produced since Element from Kendrick Lamar last year. So this is a very good video. I recommend you watch it. The song's called This Is America. Do you like it, Sean?
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious because he's just, when he was dancing around and everything, I go, what the fuck is this? I go, ah, okay. Now it gets the edginess, shooting people up and stuff. I liked it. It's it's not the whining about Trump bullshit that we've been having for the past 2 years or year and a half or so that we've been yelling about on this podcast. So it's actually, if you're going to do politics, this is the way to do it with music. Where it's a little hidden. Right, it's not, it's in your face, but it's not whiny. It's constructive.
Yeah, there's definitely a fine line you can walk between having a political statement and making your political statement without kind of going overboard with it, making it seem like you are faking it.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like a lot of artists really seem like they're faking it or they're overdoing it to
the Lana Del Rey
appeal to people. Yeah, for sure. But no, this was definitely not that, so I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. So
that's good shit.
From that, let's go into the music news. But remember, follow us on Audio Face Pod, all social media stuff. Rate us on places, especially Apple Podcasts, because that matters. And also, Apple Podcasts is the number one place people listen to Audio Face.
Really? That is amazing.
Yes.
Oh,
so
God.
We love you, Apple users. Please don't listen to any of the previous episodes in which I may or may not have said annoying things about the Apple platform. And rate us 5 stars and tell us what you think and help us improve and stuff so we can continue doing this for the people.
For the people. Unbiased reviews.
Speaking of for the people, well, our biases are clear. Let's put it
that way. It was a joke. You can't, it's not video, so fair, you can't see my face. I'm like winking, like unbiased. Oh,
yeah. It's gonna be great when we're not recording this remotely anymore. Which will be
what this.
We'll be doing the
second
so
last
we'll be doing
one.
The next episode. We'll be doing this next episode. Yeah. There's a couple ones. Yeah. I'm looking at the calendar now. Anyways, speaking of for the people, there's a couple things we do editorially in this podcast that people who are just casual music listeners don't understand. There's a ton, because there's like 15 different EPs and singles and albums that came out. There's a bunch of different news this week. Some of that news is involving a certain professional buffoon.
That we have a
ban. Rhymes with Schmanye dressed. And yeah, we have a ban on him because his media spin out and all of that stuff is the same reason we have the ban about singles, where we only review the first single from an upcoming album and then we cut it off, because there's hype behind all of these musicians and artists that's not all bad, but it's how they sell albums and there's no need to help with that. You can figure that out yourself. It doesn't add much to the music conversation.
No.
What does add to the music conversation is this little interesting note about what Billboard is going to be doing now. When it comes to how they count streaming numbers, because that's like the main way. We always like, oh, it charted on Billboard 200, at least in America, because everything's America. But now they're changing it to where if you're on a paid subscription and you stream a song, that emphasis, like, that has more weight than you not being on a paid subscription and streaming that song.
Okay, I like that.
So, I mean, it's interesting because...
Well, it holds more currency, more value, because you're the ones who are basically paying the musicians more money because you're subscribing to, say, Spotify, because that's what a lot of people are using. You subscribe to those at, then they have more money to allegedly pay music people, musicians.
No, that's fine. My hang up lies around... My hang-up lies mostly around the fact that Billboard isn't really a way for streaming, I guess. Is it measuring sales? Because if it's measuring sales, which I wasn't sure if it was doing, I thought Billboard just measured listens, more or less.
Well, I think it's doing a bunch of stuff, is what it looks like. So it goes to paid streamers, paid subscription audio streams, and ad-supported audio streams. Then it has paid subscribers, how much Like, it's a whole thing. It's not just
straight. Okay, so it's like a whole model.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Because I thought if Billboard was going to be replacing their system that mainly focused on raw number of streams, which is what I thought Billboard was, or like raw numbers of plays, listens, whatever. Whereas there are other things, like when an album goes gold or platinum or silver or whatever, those are counts of how many record sales you do. That's a different thing. I thought Billboard was played on listens and the amount of time it's listened. But if it also involves a weight around price and things, then this is absolutely great. I agree with it too.
Okay. I love it. I like it.
Yeah.
Especially like they give more weight to people who pay their taxes, who pay up.
Yeah, because artists make more money from paid subscriptions than non-paid subscriptions.
Yeah, exactly.
So it will help show in the rankings that well, I mean, it won't really be transparent in the rankings. Like, you won't see which artists have more paid than unpaid subscriptions unless they do specific breakdowns of that. But that won't be in the specific Billboard 200. It's just that artists will be more rewarded for paid streams. So do what you can as a music subscriber. Subscribe to a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
Pay an artist a minuscule amount of money at the very least.
Yeah. Get them some, you know, let them eat bread at least.
Bread has a lot of carbs, though. Don't even get into people bread now. Come on. Then their healthcare services would get them. Can't handle that. Anyways, this was really funny because Sean sent me this story randomly in the middle of the week, and he didn't even know that the rapper 6ix9ine existed.
Tekashi 6ix9ine, 6ix9ine, whatever you want to call him. Jesus, Moses. It's the best way I can put it.
Go ahead, Sean. You're ready.
Okay, so I just found this random article about this rapper I've never heard of who gets an insane amount of money for doing dumb shit. I gotta really hold my tongue. And,
I'm not editing, so shut up.
Yeah, after the amount of editing we did last week, I'm trying to hold my tongue. Let's just say this guy has rainbow hair, rainbow grill, and 6ix9ine tattooed literally everywhere around his body. You can make your own judgments for you, but I'm going to judge you because you look like an idiot. Anyways, he loses he lost a $5 million headphone deal.
$5 million.
Who in their right goddamn mind would give him $5 million for a headphone deal?
Who looks at that face and goes, I mean, I never want anyone to give me shit for tattoos again, by the way.
No, you can't never can. Also, the reason why is because he was a person of interest or something in two shootings.
In a series of shootings.
Yeah. One that happened in like some music show or something that was going on backstage, and then one that just happened in Brooklyn, I believe.
A music show performed by music people?
Yes. Exactly. So this dumbass blows away a $5 million deal by shooting up somebody, allegedly. Or shooting in the air. Maybe a little pump. You don't know. But this guy... Jesus Christ. This is why I hate music industry right now. Because we are allowing people like this to get famous and get these stupid deals when there's artists that are struggling out there, barely making ends meet, barely putting bread on the table, because we got to carve them up because they got to be able to live and survive and breathe. And I hate people like that. So fucking stupid. I had to hold my tongue because I don't want to make Dan edit any more than he has to.
You know what, Sean? I think I really appreciate the take. I think it was very passionate and I agree with a lot of it. Thank you for making me not have to edit anything out. But no, 6ix9ine, Tekashi 6ix9ine, we had a pretty long off recording mic argument about what his actual fucking name is.
That's pretty funny.
To make something semi-productive out of this conversation, we're gonna have a lot of discussions this summer. It's gonna be really fun. And one of them I wanna have is about, I really feel like trap is at this moment where it's like pop in 2008. Where it's, and we've talked about this moment in our lives a lot off recording and a little bit in the early episodes of Audio Phase. We were like, this is when we really started getting discouraged with music because it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You have these random pop stars with ridiculous lives rising to fame and they're being publicly ridiculed. And it's just that mood. We're in that thing again. It's something that happens when You know, we'll talk about it later, but it's a conversation thing that I think we can have in a future episode.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'd love to have that. The conversation piece.
All right.
As long as we can have another, what better as long as we can have another like 2011 or 2016 of music, then happy.
I hope so. Because
because we have an album that is almost 2 hours long again, and I want to freaking shoot myself in the brain. Ray Schremer. Shrem 3.
It has a 3. It's a 3 where the E goes, because, you know, it's their third album.
Friendo.
It's great. This is also from that Saturday Night Live skit. There was some, it was a really musically focused Saturday Night Live because Donald Glover was hosting, and there was a skit about Migos called Friendos that I highly recommend.
Oh, please watch
it. Podcast, look up. It's really good. It's a good Migos, like, rip, not ripoff, parody.
That's hilarious.
Enough pimping out Comcast NBC. Let's talk about our shit. So this album is 1 hour 41 minutes long, 27 songs. We talked about this phenomenon
with Migos.
When Culture, speaking of the Friendos, when Culture 2 came out, the Migos album from earlier this year, it was a similar number of songs, like 20s, 30s range. It's 4 minutes longer than this. 2 to 4 minutes longer than this. And the reason why this is happening is because, in addition to the fact that trap as a genre is very easy to manufacture, it's production-wise not that incredibly hard.
No.
Talented producers, but look at all the other genres, it's not that hard, just saying. It's easy to make a lot of these songs, and it's also beneficial in this streaming world where longer playlists, longer works rake up higher.
Mm-hmm.
Rake up higher numbers, which makes them more money that they can talk about throwing away in their
throwing
songs.
At hoes.
Yeah, and so going into this, Ray Schremer, of the genre of artists that are really, really trappy, I guess, is one of my ones I tended to like more. Especially in Schrem Life and Schrem Life 2, their other albums, they played around with things a little bit, but a lot of it was still just that same boring trap thing. This album is a lot of that. It's basically, to me, this album is a big version of their first two albums, in the sense that there's a lot of filler that's very forgettable at best,
yep,
and horrible and repetitive at worst. There are a couple songs in there that really shine out, but had this been a 9-song album, then those songs would have shown more, and there could be less filler. But the reasoning behind the filler here, because for at least if Migos did this, it would have almost made sense, but for Schrem Life 3, each of the duo in Ray Schremer, Sway Lee and Slim Jimmy, each have their own third of the album, where it's kind of their production leadership, their vision for what they want to see from it. And so the Sway Lee version is a little bit more poppy and song,
yeah,
like it's a little more singing. And the Jimtro version from Slim Jimmy is a little more trappy, even though there's Zoe Kravitz, Pharrell Williams, who's on every single song in America now. And the Swaycation part has only one feature from Young Thug, and so you expect it to be reversed to where Jimmy's part is more trappy, but I mean it's less trappy, but it's not. And then the part where they're together is okay, but if I'm being honest, I'd say Powerglide and Perplexing Pegasus, the singles that came out from it already, were probably the best parts of that album, the first part. Which means if you have only 2 songs on a maybe 9 kind of 27 song album, that's really good. And the rest are passable or forgettable at best. That's rough. If I expand it to 27 songs, then I like the Shwaycation part the most, I'd say, because by creating a more rhythmic singing part element to trap, that's a little different. That breaks it up a little bit, even though not all those songs were particularly like beautifully written. But yeah, it's all I can say about this is in some ways better, in some ways worse than how I felt about Culture 2, which is it does some cool things with trap, but only 1 or 2 or 4 times. And the other 20, 23 times are just the same old shit. And it's really kind of frustrating now. Sean has been frustrated about this longer than I am. So you take it away.
Fucking A, that dragged on forever. Yeah, there was two songs. I don't know what their names are because I didn't want to keep looking at my phone for an hour and a half or for 2 hours trying to figure out what song everything is because everything sounds the fucking same. There's like two songs that stood out that were pretty good, and the rest just felt like every other dude in the world who's making trap. And I go, this is really bad and annoying. But yeah, did as you said, I like the vocal part where he does a little more singing on it, and that even the lyrics of those two songs were a little bit more forgiving than, I guess, normal trap, where it's all about the same crap. Those ones were actually about feelings and other stuff, because apparently people have feelings. It's the same thing where I said about Post Malone's album last week when I reviewed it, is if people really stuck to, I shouldn't say stuck, but really explored what they're good at instead of adhering to what the industry's doing, they could make some fantastic shit. There's little glimpses of that in this album, and it's sad that they kept going along with what they're doing with trap. Everybody keeps doing the same thing over and over again. And a couple of the songs you can hear, okay, they're trying a little something new, finally, and it sounds great. So do more of experimenting with your voice. Do a little bit more of maybe less trap snare, maybe less production of it. Kind of strip it down even more where it's simpler and not the same beat every time. Do a different time signature, do a different beat, whatever. And try something else. And I think that will really make stuff sound good. For the album, it's long as fuck. Don't stop doing this. You're not making a Mozart concerto. The only time an album should be this long is if it's like a deluxe version where it has EPs and stuff on it. And yeah, please stop or I'm going to blow my brains out, allegedly. Don't kill yourself. Call the suicide hotline prevention. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway, like if I could just sum this up in one sentence, is you'd think with 27 songs, you'd get a little bit more range and a little bit more creativity, even from like two of Trap's more creative, more range-having artists. But you really don't, which is like, from someone who likes Ray Shremmer, a bit disappointing, but like there's my bias. Even with my bias, this was as disappointing as I kind of honestly expected. Because when you heard it was gonna be like a three-peat album, as long as Migos and all that stuff, it's like, okay, well, you either are Trap legends and you don't sound like it, or, yeah, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
Oh wow, it's that time where I have to pick the ranking system.
Yes, you pick it, please.
Of albums. I'm gonna pick another negative ranking system. Ouch. Where the less is better.
Okay.
I'm going to choose, how many families have lost their homes due to gentrification?
Oh.
Out of 5.
Shit.
For this entire...
Ain't no gentrifying.
That's going to be the ranking.
We're finna buy the hotel. Tell the 1% to suck a dick to it. Because we own you.
In honor of me finally leaving San Francisco and no longer having to pay rent here, let's Berkeley. Do the displacement scale. Free Speech Studios displacement. The Free Speech Studios displacement scale.
I love it. Yeah, you're almost done. This gets a solid, like, 4.
Displaced 4 families?
Yeah.
Like, 6 kids each.
6 kids each.
These are big families for a big album.
Fuck this thing. If you make 27 songs and there's only possibly 4 memorable songs, you, sir, suck.
I'll give it, like...
Don't
3 and...
God damn it. You're going to chop a house in half now, you asshole. You're going to put a target in the middle of
a
house.
I'm going to chop a house. No, I'm not going to... Like a little bodega target. Or
yeah.
Camp,
you know? Are you going to put a Whole Foods on top of the second story, so now you only have 1 story?
I'm going to give it a 3 and... I'm not going to displace a whole family, but I'm going to displace like a deadbeat uncle who, like, has he said he's gonna chill there for a couple months until he, like, got things straight. But he
keeps buying cocaine.
He's still there. He's not looking for a job. He's not doing coke or anything. He just, like, sits around, plays Xbox all day. He's not really doing anything.
Ah, okay. He's not winning bread, he's one of those on Xbox calling little chillin' f***ets and stuff, right?
Precisely. I'm gonna have to.
Really? You can't say that now?
In that context, definitely.
Well, I'm quoting from that. People, but okay. Fine.
Sad day.
I mean, it's also a term for a cigarette in your country, so.
This is what's going to be fun. This is a story I kind of threw in from me, but it's...
I like this.
It's nice. I like it.
It's good. This
is oh, wow. Sean likes the story. This is good.
Well, okay. Yeah, because so, hey, remember, I'm a socialist. Everybody should be able to have access to drugs. Just do it in a safe manner. Because you're not going to stop it. It's so just you're like alcohol. You're not going to stop it. So if you're going to do it right. Instead of just dying on the street.
Audio Face, the podcast where we give you the take before we give you the story. But...
I didn't even think of that.
But I don't know, that was great, Sean. That was great, except people don't know what we're talking about yet. But Australia is going to be doing pill testing at a music festival this summer. And so you'll be able to take your...
Sorry, I read the title of the festival, Groove in the Moo.
Nothing's more Australian than that. That's fucking priceless.
I don't know. I just pictured a cow on LSD, like, doing backflips and shit. Like, it's the cow is changing colors as we speak.
God bless Australia. I mean, their drug scene's probably not great, but I don't know. Anyways, so let's finally tell the folks this story. They're going to be doing drug testing. So usually there are a couple different ways you can handle drug enforcement at your festival. You can pretend to not allow it where you have security, but like they're not checking that much. You can be super strict on it and you can punish people for bringing it in and literally take them to alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. The Department of Drug Enforcement Agency. Mm-hmm. They did that at one rave in Texas a couple years back. It was wild. Or you can do this, which is where you have people who bring their drugs in. And when you do that, you have an amnesty approach. So you can either have people give up drugs when they go in and there's no questions asked. I think Insomniac did that at EDC recently. No, at a different event, not EDC, but that worked well for them. No, this was at the music festival in Miami that I'm forgetting the name of. But there's that, or you can have them test the drugs to make sure they're what you think they are. Because the last thing you want to do is take one thing and it's accidentally something else, or it's cut with something because you're buying these on the street. There is no regulated market for this. And if you, you know, taxed and regulated these drugs that people clearly want to use recreationally, then it'd be safer to do and you could actually make money off of it. But no, I'm the crazy pot-smoking socialist. I'm telling you, you can make drugs capitalism and you can make it safe, but no, let's just have an epidemic
instead. Because God apparently says drugs are not good for you.
So yeah, that's our take.
Yeah.
Anything else to add for that?
No, it's cool. Do it more.
Cool. That was a fun way to go to that story. Anyways, so yeah, like we said, there's gonna be some new music from Arctic Monkeys next week. Also, Beach House. So next week might be very, very not trap heavy.
I'm
it's gonna be Is Rock Dead Part 3.
Please. And the Brockhampton announcer June. And the 1975 are probably gonna release something on June 1st because their website and everything has a countdown clock to the 1st of June.
Yeah.
So, hype train.
Big fans. Yeah, big fans of 1975 here on Audio Face. There's our bias for you.
Super so. Bias. And we'll do an episode like we're doing for Arctic Monkeys later on about the 1975 so people can really.
Yeah, I'd love for you to do that because, like, I know of them a bit, and we talked about them before on the podcast. Yeah, but sure. Absolutely.
That way, I can give you why I like them so much.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh yeah, let's go into our second review. We're moving along pretty steadily here.
Move along.
This is one of my. Huh?
Nothing. Just a Star Wars reference.
Oh. Singularity by Johns Hopkins. John Hopkins. This is one of my curveballs.
Yeah, I had no idea what this was, and I like it.
Me neither. Sometimes I like to look at what album releases happen on Fridays, and if there's only one, or if I know Sean is going to really hate the album,
rip my brain out.
If I just have a feeling, then I'll pick a curveball. And sometimes curveballs have had mixed results. One curveball that I think was the best was The Horrors. I did not know we were going in for that, and we came out with literally the best album of last year.
Yeah, that was huge.
So, you know, a little bit of big ones, a little bit of small ones. Anyways, Johns Hopkins Sing... There, I did it again. Johns Hopkins Singularity is 12 songs long, but technically it's 9 because the last 3 songs, at least if you're listening on Spotify or mostly anywhere else, have edited versions of,
it's
I guess
songs.
You can assume, are singles. Yeah,
it's
9. So it's 9
it's
songs.
9 songs.
About an hour long.
Yeah. And it's this experimental house, like ambient house would be the best way to describe it. I don't know what to describe this genre because I do like it, but I don't know what to look up when I'm trying to listen to this shit. What's the best way to pronounce it if you know?
I'm pretty much there with you. Experimental house. I call it like...
But it's really ambient, though.
In electronic music, not to say this isn't EDM, but in electronic music, there's a Venn diagram where house and trance sit very close to each other. And
this is the border.
In that... It's right there in that overlap, but there's also very ambient. Trance and house can be kind of like... upbeat and loud and thumping, and this album has moments of that,
yeah.
But it's mostly an experience where it's low-key, relaxing, ambientness.
It's really
messing
good
with
to
a
study
few
with.
For sure. Messing with a few like time signatures, I think, too, or at least mm-hmm. with the drums. They're
mm-hmm.
doing some really fun things with the drums.
Yeah, no, it's...
Is that in the song Neon Pattern Drum?
Right. So overall, here, I'll give my opinion on it since you started our last one. I quite enjoyed it. I didn't know exactly what you had in store when you sent it to me on the rundown, and first song I popped it on, I go, what the hell? Did not expect trance house trance, whatever you were calling it, ambient house, audio house. And so there's a couple songs that are like, there's 2 songs that are 10.5 and 11:51. And that's fucking, those are long ass songs. But I love those because you put it in the background and you don't think about it. So it's really, really, really good background music. Like COSM or COSM, they're just their spaces in between each letter. And Luminous Beans go really, really hard. Those are my 2 favorite songs on the album. Where
COSM was my favorite too.
Yeah, about halfway through both of those songs, it would switch up and get a little more upbeat, but still really, really low key. So wouldn't go crazy like, you know, the stupid EDM drop or whatnot. This is, you don't hear this that often in electronic music. You don't have this trance, this really calm music that often. I wish you could hear it more, but apparently it's pretty popular though. There's like 3 million monthly streams or 2 million monthly streams, something like that, I believe. So, which is good. People keep it up. And, 2.1 monthly listeners. 2.1 million.
2.1 monthly listeners. That's audio face if I know it. Straight cut them in half.
But do you have a Van Gogh ear? Is that why? Or Van Gogh ear? If the fucking art police want to yell at me. If Allie wants to yell at me.
Shout out.
Good shit. I like it.
Yeah, I definitely like COSM. You know me, I like more upbeat things. I'm fine with more chill, but I generally like more upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a little relaxed for me, even though it did have its moments, but I felt I could have enjoyed more range or
variety. Definitely.
It's where they could have broken up the songs. But COSM, I think, is that moment to where if you're listening to this as an album all the way through, it gets a little bit slow, but then it builds up to this thing, and yeah, that's just definitely my favorite song. It's just beautiful music. It's off the beaten path. I didn't listen, like, I skip listened to 1 or 2 songs in the album because I was trying to pick a curveball to throw at you, And I was like, okay, this is interesting. I don't know what to call this yet, but I think it'll spark a conversation. And so that's kind of what I do when I throw curveballs. I don't pre-listen to it too much. I mostly try to do something to where I change the balance of the show. So we're going super trap heavy one week like we just did, then, you know, well, this little experimental trance thing. Also, there's some long songs. Like, Everything Connected's 10 minutes 30, Luminous Beings 11:51, which isn't necessarily a complaint. It's just like you're getting into longer, trancier things.
It's just like Cigarettes, where those are some of my favorite tracks in the world are literally 15 minutes long. But that's the style of song, where it's basically almost two songs put into one, but it goes all together.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much all I gotta say on the album. Oh, you gave your review. You gave your score already. I'm gonna give it a cool.
I haven't given my score yet, but okay.
Oh, I thought you gave it a two. Oh no, that was 2.1 million.
Oh.
Never mind.
Yeah, dumbass.
So, do you have a score?
Sure,
Sure,
I'll give it 2.1.
I was about there too. I'll go with the straight two. I'll go with the clean two family.
Give it two families. I want Displaced. I want 2.1. I want somebody's ear to fall off. I want some like riots in the streets and like tear gas bumping in the house and shit.
Like rent control.
No survivors. Leave no prisoners.
And stumbling out of that kind of morbid thing, I do want to point out because the media has done a really shitty job of reporting on the Avicii death. And that sucks coming from a show where two assholes who routinely joke about, like, their own bouts of mental illness in, like, a really morbid way. Like, the fact that we're kind of doing a better job of covering the Avicii thing than most of mainstream media, in which they're, like, describing the, like, how he took his life in detail and doing all these things his family exactly didn't wish. And so we're not going to do that here. But we are going to talk about the fact that before he, I guess, took his life, he donated almost his whole net worth, which is about $85 million to charity.
See, that's a person for the people. That's a good man. That's amazing.
Yeah, including he donated about $1 million to hunger relief charity Feeding America. Which is, like, crazy. He's not even, like, American.
No, that's amazing. Makes me respect him even more.
Yeah, so, like, sure, maybe the headlines were what he was going through and the struggle is gonna get more clicks and likes and sell more ads or whatever, right? But this is a person, they were going through a struggle and they did a lot of great things for society. And so, like, that's how I want to remember Avicii. That and, of course, obviously, like, his fucking amazing music.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my two cents. And lastly, just because
this is hilarious.
Fun.
Always got to end the podcast on an up.
We're not going to leave the podcast too down like that. This is entertainment at the end of the day. And so, the Cavaliers, Kendrick Perkins, basically told Drake, quote, "Sit your ass down and watch the game," which is like basically what everyone in America has been wanting someone to tell Drake forever. Because his Toronto Raptors are in the playoffs playing against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they've lost at this point because it's an old story. But Drake is basically just heckling from the sidelines because he can afford every single courtside seat like no problem, and he'll just do whatever he can to piss people off on the court. And he's even gotten into a couple fights, I think. Like a fight or two on there. Almost got ejected from the game. Drake did. But yeah, he's a fucking clown. I don't know.
He's taking it too seriously. Go back to hockey.
Drake did hockey?
Yeah, he went to like All-Star Game a few years ago and stuff for Toronto Maple Leafs. But Maple Leafs got eliminated from the playoffs. So it's all good.
They got eliminated from the playoffs?
Yes, sir.
Eliminated.
Yeah, eliminated from the playoffs. Like, is they gone? They were eliminated last week.
Like, I'm thinking of eliminated as like something bad happens. Like,
no, the entire fucking town got nuked. No, they just lost in round one to Boston. That's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It just sounds so ominous.
Eliminated.
All right, so elimination. Discussion topic time, because this is a pretty short episode otherwise. But so Sean wanted to talk about the barriers of being a musician and kind of how hard that is, or like what you want to do that. And I was like, ouch, that's cool. Wait, sorry, what?
No, my back.
Oh, right. You have back issues now.
She go away pretty soon.
So I was like, okay, that's a really good topic, but that's really broad of all the different struggles of being a musician. And so I thought, hey, instead of studying over Dead Week, what I've been doing is messing around with Fruity Loops and making beats all the time.
Dumbass.
And so I'm going to, here's how I'm going to frame this conversation. I hate my life. This is an intervention. Everything that is going on in the news drives me crazy, and my job is making me go insane. What if I quit everything and become a musician? What stands in my way? So that's how we're going to frame the conversation.
I mean, I'm with it too. We're, I have to stare at a black line in the pool 6 days a week, so let's do it. Let's become the new Daft Punk, audio punk. Let's do it. Heard it here first, folks.
But in my, like, hypothetical, like, mania situation that I'm, like, actually kind of in right now, where I'm having, like, a momentary, do I really want to do this with the rest of my life moment? I love my job. Truthfully, though, like, it's easier than ever to pick up being a musician. Many people who listen to this podcast might also think that, wow, a lot of this production's really low-key or minimal. There are people who have... There are people who listen to this podcast who I'm sure have better musical training than a lot of top artists today.
I do, and for fuck's sake.
Yeah, like, even I do. I can barely read sheet music. Mm-hmm. Like, I know these people are out there, and they're also younger people who are thinking of different ways to maybe blend genres. Like, there are artists out there who, maybe there's someone listening to Audio Face who actually wants to become a musician. I encourage you to do that, but we should talk about what are all those barriers. So,
yeah, for sure.
Do you have any way you want to start, Sean? I guess, tell me what I should or shouldn't do in my hypothetical quest.
Well, one thing is you kind of have to know people in the industry. Would be the best way to start off. You have to know how to get started, how to get your stuff noticed. You have to get extremely lucky. That's one thing for sure. But main thing is exposure. Is, okay, what genre are you theoretically doing?
Well, let's talk about what makes the genres different.
Okay, then. So for, like...
Because let's make this open-ended.
Okay, so, like, alternative rock and stuff, I know how to do that a little bit easier than EDM-ish, because I've been around it more often, is you have to send your music out. You have to keep publishing stuff in different social media platforms and try to gain some type of following, so that way either a band manager or a record label or somebody who hears one song that they think, wow, okay, these guys are pretty original, or they're good at songwriting, good at producing, whatever it they may think, and say, okay, let's sign them and see what they can do. Maybe they could become big later on, or they won't. You never know. It's really about timing, luck, and just general exposure. Trying to tell your friends who will tell other people, and going to just a bunch of different shows where you have to basically start small. Maybe like 20 people will be a big show for you. 50 people would be huge. And then you go from there, basically, where if you're lucky, you get invited to festivals, or if you get an album release and it gets decent plays, streams now or downloads, and then you might be able to open up for a bigger band, open up for like go on tour with the Arctic Monkeys or some shit like that. Just throwing it out there.
I mean, like, there's also that there's a community aspect when you're just starting out as an artist that definitely exists for alternative. I remember, like, we have like a little alternative rock scene in Long Beach that was burgeoning, especially when we were coming up.
Yeah, it's definitely still there.
I mean, it might still be there. I just wasn't going to speak from knowledge because I haven't been there for 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's definitely still there. There's a couple of artists and stuff that got a pretty decent following from Long Beach. So with that,
are there many artists, broadly from Long Beach.
Yeah, exactly. So you just, I mean, a lot of it's luck, honestly. And main thing is to stay true to yourself. Don't try to copy anybody. The biggest thing is originality is so not common these days that if somebody starts to hear something that's really original, then that's the best way to kind of get recognized now, I believe.
So I have a couple, like I have a ton of points to get to from that. So I'll just go away. One thing I was going to say about community that kind of tied into what you were saying is that it's important to, as you're coming up, to cultivate that group of people who you can support, who they can support you, who maybe you can come on and perform with them in small gigs like that, because it's kind of networking in a way. Although
always networking.
What I like with art in a broad sense is that networking in the business world, which I'm pretty used to, unfortunately, can feel very soulless, where everything feels ephemeral and you know that at any point, the other person you're meeting with might be trying to get a leg up on you. Whereas with art, there's a lot more natural room for collaboration rather than competition. I mean, there's always competition. There's definitely competition. There always will be.
I mean, always. But,
there's a lot more room for collaboration, and collaboration can be a lot more of a fruitful effort for both. And it doesn't have to be just a simple networking, soulless exercise per se. And I had my second point, which was, I was going to ask you to make things more broad, because you said that's alternative, but talk more about how you would do it in other genres.
I'm not a fucking expert, so I'm shooting the shit. For EDM,
all right,
is one way, is like, EDM's so fucking broad. It depends on what style of music you're doing, what you're trying to do with your music. If you're trying to just do the normal hypey-typey bullshit, then it's all about same thing, exposure, trying to get into festivals or different little small shows, and you start playing for people, and they like your music, they get shared, this or that. It's the same thing where, EDM is more also, I feel it's bigger for online presence, like an Instagram personality or something like that, where you can build a following where people want to see like the ins and outs of your daily life. And if you can really show that, that's another way to get exposed.
I think, so I have a little bit more on the EDM side just because I've been in that scene more recently and I've seen a lot of artists on all ends, from just coming up to starting out to getting kind of big to even performing on small stages at EDC. So like, I know sort of this pipeline from the outside and a little bit on the inside. The point about social media, I think that just might be a larger modernizing thing. I think with the 1975 even, or that other bands big. That are new, they're new, but they're still like alternative rock, I guess. They still have to have personalities and presences on social media as well, because that's just the name of the game.
Oh yeah, big time.
I mean, we have a band on someone who has quite a presence on and off of social media. And that's part of how this person sells records.
Yeah.
That's part. And so,
I mean, the 1975, the band themselves almost have 2 million followers on Instagram.
Right. And then, I mean, every band's got to do that. But that's mostly that. There's not much there. The way I wanted to combine this is, I think with any genre, whether it's rock or EDM or whatever, there's a system where you start at the like a pyramid, I guess, making music sound like a pyramid scheme. But there's a ladder you climb. I want the listener to get a visual of a hierarchy, I guess, that you climb. And unfortunately, I hate describing social systems and structures with hierarchies, but hashtag no politics. Where in electronic music, for example, the parallel that I draw to what you describe with alternative music is you start out on your own making beats, SoundCloud especially, same with trap too, passing out beats, getting people to listen to it whenever you can, definitely playing at a lot of local shows if your town has like a rave scene or an underground music scene, oftentimes very in tune or intertwined with the art scene there too, then you can see some of that happening. You'll also get from there, once they start moving up from different underground shows, that's when they'll start to get to the bigger ones. Maybe they'll open up for artists. In EDM, it's a big thing to where when you're touring, you don't, and I think there's a little bit of this in rap too. Not always, but when you're a smaller artist and you're touring, sometimes you bring artists with you, but a lot of times you bring artists with you and or you look for local artists where you're performing that are very similar to what your sound is, and then you open for them.
Yeah.
So I've seen a bunch of concerts where a local rap artist, for example, would open for Run the Jewels, which would be like really cool. And I think Run the Jewels had a person that should not be named because they're in a sexual assault scandal, but like at the time they weren't, and that was their opener as well. And yeah, there's that hierarchy where it's all about networking, it's all about getting your name out there. And definitely with EDM, there's a lot to be said about building a brand and persona that goes along with that. Dylan Francis, Skrillex, Deadmau5, Rez, all have done that very, very well to where they've built brands for themselves off of music. And through that, they can get their music out there. So it's like a feedback loop. And it's also reciprocal, kind of like the community building aspect where you help other people, they help you, but it's not the soulless process. You can really collaborate and make cool shit together.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
All right. So there was that question. And then my, do you have anything else to say? Because otherwise I just have more questions.
No, it's fine. I mean, we should wrap it up relatively soon because I realized right. I didn't realize how late it is. I have shit to do. Forgot to tell you about.
Oh, right. Fun. Let's see. What else would you want to know if you could be a musician? So, like, let's get really quickly into some of the barriers to entry. So those are how you would maybe start, but what makes it hard to do?
Exposure, I guess, would be the biggest thing is how do you get more people to listen? I mean, just like our damn podcast, how the hell do you get people to listen to you? How do you get a following? Starting from scratch, starting with nobody right. knowing you, how do you create a presence? It's a bit easier now because of online presences. And with that, you can exploit a little bit more on social media. Kind of have this, I wouldn't say cult following, but a way to start your own personality that some people will gravitate to, and you can really latch on and become this, I wouldn't say extra person, but this bigger personality and musician at the same time. And yeah, I mean, if you're starting, it's about what do you have to offer music itself, the industry? What do you put on the table if you want to get the label? What do you do for them as well? It's a two-way street, just like anything in business. Or for me on Triathlon getting sponsored, it's the same thing. It's a two-way street of, okay, what do I have to offer for you? And vice versa. So it's about finding that real balance between creating something new, creating something original, and getting paid for it and getting recognized for it and selling records. And if you don't want to do that, then it's different. Then if you do want to still be just a low-key artist, then by all means, just play local shows and make your own stuff if you don't want to become part of the crazy circus that is the music industry.
If we had more time, and I think we should go a whole episode into the financial aspect, because like we could
talk
a lot about
that's like a 6-hour podcast, yeah. If you're talking about that, yeah, that's a lot.
And but like, I do want to touch on the fact that you shouldn't quit your day job to become a musician. So not, I shouldn't quit my day job to become a musician.
No, not unless you're really, really good and you know a way in, or you're James Rhodes and you get really fucking lucky, because he quit his day job to become a concert pianist, and somehow he did it. So there are people that have done it. It's just, you have to have the drive. You have to do it. It's very, very hard work. And if you're not willing to go 110% into it, then you're not going to make it.
And so here's my last pushback question on this. And so you've been fairly optimistic, as you are, about the overall prospects of music that you know. Okay, you've been fairly meritocratic, which is funny for a socialist, about how music works. That, you know, if you play your cards right, you work hard, you build that following, you make good music, then you'll do well. Then you have these people who come out of nowhere, who don't make particularly fascinating music, who kill on the charts.
It's because people are brainwashed and idiotic and don't have a sense of music taste. And that's another problem of, okay, that's the thing of what do you have to offer the industry? It's really, really hard now because there's so much shit out there that a lot of people in our generation, they like because I for fucking a, I really don't understand how they can listen to it. Maybe they're not brought up along with music. Maybe their parents didn't really show them this or that. I mean, it's what's hitting the streets. It's also a big thing of cult general culture. Like how trap culture is really big, especially in America. And with that, then you have trap music, obviously. Then you have different professional buffoons that can get out and become really popular. Because people like watching them on the internet or some stupid shit as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm just scratching the surface.
Yeah. Because to me, it seems like I should just, okay, I know people like this kind of lowest common denominator music. I want to be a musician because at least I don't have to cover Trump stories all the time. Let me just make some like simple trap beats and call it a day. I mean, can you, is there a path to do the underachieving overachiever thing where you can be generic enough to be, because what the music industry, I mean, what the two-way relationship you're alluding to is ultimately not only how can you push the art forward or make a difference or whatever you want, but ultimately it's how much money will you make me? And you
Exactly.
can be special and different if you want to, but if you can't show how much money that's going to make you, that's another barrier. And so, what if I just lower all of my barriers and say, look, this is generic trap shit that's going to make a lot of money because it's generic trap shit. And like, I guess what deters me from doing that?
Nothing. That's a way to get in. 100%. It's just like if you
Jesus, fuck.
if you're in sports and you agree to dope because you know you can win, you can get away with it, you have a right doctor, that's another way in.
Well, that's.
Like, I'm telling the truth. Yeah. If you want to be all natty like me, it's incredibly hard because you have to do so much hard work and preparation before because there's no shortcuts. Then you don't get in so easily. Then that's where you have to have luck and a bunch of other stuff, which I'm going to cover in the 1975 episode that we have. That's why I really want to talk about it because I know how they got in to become such a big band. And their story is really interesting, and it's something that we can have in a later discussion about this as well.
Right.
It's there are ways. It's very hard, but it can happen. It's just a lot easier for you to be generic bullshit. It's just like pop music, anything. Just be generic, people are gonna like it. But to be revolutionary or something different is gonna be a lot harder to get in, but a bit more rewarding because you'll have a long standing discography, you'll have a long standing place in music. I mean, look at Radiohead, look at I mean, just any artist that has revolutionized music. The same thing.
Like Migos will be forgotten,
Yeah.
but
I mean, look at some of the rappers in the early 2000s and stuff that people are like, oh shit, I forgot about him.
who?
Exactly.
Yeah,
They don't make music now, they're
but you
broke.
know the people that
50 Cent, like, prime example. T-Pain, who the fuck listens to T-Pain? Like, that's a prime
yeah.
example. It fades out, and if you're not going to change something, then you're not going to survive, because it's a very cruel world to be in for, so.
Well, I'm glad that I could take that otherwise very optimistic look at how you can get into the record industry, and I made it horrible and miserable.
Well, no, you made it
So it seems like the
realist.
main
I
take.
just, you asked me a way in. I'm like, that's a way in. I'm German. I'm very blunt and straightforward, so. You
Well,
ask me something, I give you an answer.
this is why we're friends.
Yeah.
It's really soothing. It's a. Never mind, I'm not going to get too into this therapy session.
Haas.
Friendos.
Friendos.
But basically, the main takeaways it seem to be are you can get into the music industry so long as you sell out quickly
If
and
you sell out, then you can honestly. Here's one way I was thinking of it. Maybe you sell out, but then the next album you release is something that's really, really good.
I think there have been a
There's
couple
been a few, so
artists
there have been a few that
who
have done that.
do that.
Yeah. They're not many, but people have done that.
Yeah. Well, once again, you blow me away with your musical insight in ways that are beyond surface level and just shooting the shit about whatever's coming out weekly. It's always fun.
Always. And that was episode 47. Thank you guys for listening. Subscribe Abonnieren auf unseren Kanal if you're like the two German listeners. Which means subscribe to our channel. Comment. Let us know if you have any music, or you hate us, or you want us to die, or you love us. Whatever. We don't
follow us on Twitter and Instagram at audio.
Damn it, I was about to do that, but okay, you stole my thunder. Now I feel useless.
I'm hosting.
That's true, you are hosting. So you are hosting today's episode. I did last week. I didn't really host last week because I kind of got kicked off my own podcast. I kicked myself off for like 2 minutes because I go, this is rough. This is bad.
Last podcast was an experience.
Yeah.
Definitely listen to that if you just somehow, I mean, everyone and their mom listened to that episode, but like, definitely listen to that if you haven't already. Mm-hmm.
So we'll have Arctic Monkeys episode sometime this week, and next week will be lots of good releases. I mean, the month of June is going to be heavy as well, so that's why you should subscribe, so you can get up to date on real, honest reviews of what we think, because our tastes are good, everybody else's shit.
I can't follow that. I'm not even going to plug myself. It's that much ego. I can't possibly top that. Thank you all for listening. Have a good one.
Cheers, guys.